Chapter 7. Location: Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Disaster. Traveling with his dad wasn't as bad as Nimbus had conjured. In fact, his dad wanted to hear all about Hawaii. Nimbus felt a genuine apology from him on missing his award-winning contest. Maybe his dad was starting to realize that Nimbus didn't want to do weather.
"When we get to the site, son, you stay close to me so you can absorb the meaning and importance in what we cumulus do."
But upon their arrival, the storm was not what had been predicted, and Nimbus was plunged into a situation that would certainly stack up with his past nightmares. The routine storm in Wyoming had gone awry. Nimbus floated over the numerous car crashes and saw the flashing red lights from the emergency vehicles that dotted along the highway like Christmas decorations. There were so many semi-tractor trailers laying on their sides, Nimbus thought it looked like child's play. Shock blew through him along with the gusting winds, and he had to hold strong not to be swept away.
"Who said the winds were supposed to be involved, Dad?" Nimbus yelled through the strong gust of wind. "Look at all those overturned trucks!"
"There is always a warning by the Weather Bureau, Nimbus. Some travelers just don't do their homework."
"Maybe it was too late for them to change their plans," Nimbus said angrily. "Why was so much snow dropped, and why the winds? Look at this holiday disaster!"
"Miscalculations. Miscommunications with the weather system, son. It happens. You will learn how to get over it."
Cumulus took a deep breath, gravely upset.
"Nimbus, it's life. We Cumulus can make mistakes, but in the end, we all have to suck it up and do better next time."
Cumulo thundered off to assess the situation.
"Wait for me down there," he yelled back, pointing to the popular truck stop.
As Nimbus headed to the Flying J truck stop in Cheyenne, Wyoming, he worried that he wouldn't make it in time to the Angel Realm. That is, if he still had a job.
"Why did I say I would go?"
Suddenly he realized he was growing into a storm and might add to the problem. He took a deep breath. Since his father was in charge, his son had been allowed to go on what appeared to be a routine snowstorm mission. Nimbus had agreed to go because his dad had told him that cumulus clouds did good things for humans. A snow shower before a holiday always brought the great cheers and smiles to people's faces. Nimbus had been surprised when he was feeling proud to be a part of his dad's team. But that was then. Somehow the whole operation had literally gone off course and turned into a Thanksgiving disaster due to miscommunications. The orders from the Cloud Council had been simple. The Western Seaboard Division was to come in under the jet stream 2 days before the holiday and lay down 6 to 7 inches of snow in Wyoming and Colorado. But the orders were misunderstood. Part of the older Cumulus Division misheard and started 2 days too soon and thought it was 16 to 17 inches. Anything over 8 inches triggered the prevailing westerlies. This led to a massive blizzard that plastered 4 connecting Midwestern states. Some were hit harder than others, some more heartbreaking. But Nimbus didn't know any of this. He only knew that his dad's reaction was coming from a cumulus justifying the behavior at being a destructive thunderhead. He looked down one more time. Cars and trucks not in the pileup were backed up for miles and miles on the highway. No one on that road was going to make it home on time for their Thanksgiving dinner. Some were not even going to have Thanksgiving ever again. Arriving at the truck stop, he drifted over to the window near the cafe and looked in. Truck drivers were sitting around watching TV and talking with each other, some shaking their heads.
"Yeah, it doesn't look like I'm making it home to see my son being born. My wife went into labor a few hours ago," a young driver said.
He sat slouched in an armchair with his leg dangling over the side. He twisted his baseball cap from back to front, jerked the bill a few times, and then moved it back around to the back again.
"Sorry to hear that," a bearded lumberjack in coveralls said.
He was shaking the ice in his biggie-sized cup, then added,
"First time flipping a trailer?"
"I didn't flip it. The frickin' wind took me over."
Well, yeah, it's a real scare and happens when you're empty,"
chimed in another old hand leaning against the wall. He was a good foot taller than all the rest and flossed his teeth as if the dentist had given him an ultimatum.
"The missus and I are just thankful we were on the straight and narrow and not blown down the gully."
He grabbed his wife and gave her a hug.
"Amen," his white-haired wife said, zipping up her hot pink velour jumpsuit.
The group nodded and agreed it was good that they all were on the flat straight of the highway and that it would make it easier for the tow trucks.
Well, it makes no never mind to me. Weather don't bother me none,"
a handsome, clean-shaven young man said, stretching.
"I'm just hauling drywall that's been wrapped and sealed tighter than the lips of my disappointed mother."
There were some chuckles, and they all got quiet as their glassy eyes returned to the TV screen mounted on the wall. Nimbus shifted to another window. A thin, balding man broke the silence as he leaned back against the wall in a metal folding chair.
"I'm supposed to meet my kids here, but that ain't gonna happen. They're coming from Boise and can't get through."
He leaned forward and the metal chair banged on the dirty gray linoleum floor.
"It's this exchange I do with my ex twice a year. Supposed to have them through New Year's."
He bit the skin around the old cut on his thumb.
"Hell, I'll wait for them till hell freezes over."
"Well, I think hell has frozen over this time," chirped an older woman with wide blonde streaks in her gray hair.
She pulled off her orange glasses on gold chains and let them fall to her chest. Suddenly, Nimbus was distracted by a commotion in the nearby parking lot. He floated up to the roof so he wouldn't be noticed. An older woman was standing next to a vehicle pleading with her husband.
"Can we wait and just overnight here? The road will be cleared and we can still get there in time. I just know we can."
"Oh, it won't matter, Clara," her husband said, shaking his head. "When I-80 opens, there will be bumper-to-bumper semis that didn't overturn, and they will be traveling at a snail's pace. And tow trucks hauling out the rest. We will miss Thanksgiving anyway."
He climbed into his 4Runner.
"Come on, get in. We need to get back home before dark."
Nimbus watched her pull out her cell phone, and then he heard her apologize and say,
"Don't cry. I'll call you when I get home, honey."
She was probably talking to her daughter.
"It should only take about 3 hours. It was very scary coming this far, but your father's a good driver. Maybe we can do that picture thing on the computer so I can see the grandkids."
Nimbus was amazed at how upbeat she was sounding, but when she hung up the phone, she wept softly, her shoulders shaking. She pulled a tissue out of her pocket, and then her husband appeared at her side and pulled her into a hug. She wept harder.
"I'm so disappointed."
"I am too," her husband said, patting her.
Nimbus felt a terrible ache inside his mass and started to build. Then he was angry and got angrier. He moved quickly away before he started to cry, knowing his tears would turn into snow. He headed southwest where the storms had passed and it was warmer. He arrived at a lake near a rock formation in Granby, Colorado. It looked familiar. He hovered over the frozen lake, remembering all he had just seen. He let go and started to cry hard, not just for the poor grandmother and her disappointment, but for the shame of being a cumulonimbus. Nimbus didn't care that he was crying so hard as his raindrops fell from him in huge dyads. They were so large, they didn't even have time to turn into sleet or snow. As the droplets hit the frozen ice on the lake, they bounced. More followed, and they bounced too. As Nimbus stared at them, having never paid attention to his own raindrops before, he noticed that their bluish color was like the ice color in Antarctica. His staring was releasing more tears, and those were bouncing off the ice like kids on a trampoline. Some of them dropped and hit the ice surface hard, splashing like water balloons.
then spreading out, making artistic designs on the ice. Some even bounced into each other like sumo wrestlers. All were laughing and giggling and having a great time. Nimbus couldn't believe what he was seeing through his tears. He noticed one extremely large raindrop bouncing higher and higher until it was looking directly in his eyes. It had the cutest childlike face and was smiling at him. Then it dropped to the frozen lake and burst, splashing and laughing. Quickly, it reshaped back into a raindrop and started bouncing again.
"I'm doing this," he yelled with joy. "This is coming from me."
As all the raindrops kept bursting and splashing, they would change and all work together, sliding in magical movements across the lake's frozen surface like a paintbrush across a canvas. The joy and laughter he heard was like a symphony of harmonic tones sounding like angels singing. And as they all ran together, they created the loveliest design on the lake. Those were his raindrops. He was an artist. He looked over the mountains as the sun pierced through the other cumulus clouds that had stayed behind to make sure the job was done. The radiance of the shimmer coming off the peaks made him suck in his breath. "Weather is beautiful," he thought.
"Well, without the storm, there could be no rainbows," said a raspy, deep voice from above. "Storms bring people together, so they have a reason to help each other. Cumulus clouds help create the oneness, Nimbus."
"Who are you?" Nimbus asked, looking up at an oversized cumulus cloud, appearing to be smoking a cigar with smoke circling around him.
"Oh, just a good friend of your father's. My name is Claudius Congestus,"
he said with a little cough. He drifted closer.
"Your dad and I have been through a lot together. You should be proud."
"Well, I'm not," Nimbus shouted. His anger was returning in force. He started building so fast that he was able to leave before another word was said. "I'm not one of you," he shouted back.
Nimbus turned his anger into such a forceful energy that he propelled himself straight up at hypersonic speed, heading to the angel's realm. He was careful to stay under control and not start to spin. In fact, he hoped he would never spin again. Never.